What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Javier. So this next episode is really to discuss a little bit more about early adaptation or becoming an early adopter. And really, like, this is probably a really ideal episode for this industry.
So you're probably asking yourself, how to successfully grow a facility management company in today's digital age while still remaining profitable? You know that marketing should probably be in the mix, but you may not know the best approach, the newest strategies, or which digital platforms to market on. So how do you use marketing to grow your FM business today? That is a question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Javier Lozano Jr., and welcome to the Facility Management Marketing Podcast.
And the reason I say this is that early adopters are sometimes like laughed at. They're like, well, we don't do that. People around them, like their critics and stuff like that, are essentially going to be criticizing them and saying like, that's not going to work. That's not, that doesn't work well. It's not, you know, that's not going to be successful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And What I can say is that those that are early adopters and things that are somewhat relatively revolutionary, something that's new, that's going to be game-changing, groundbreaking, something like that, that could basically move your career to the next level. And I see this not happening as much in facilities and property management. And I say this with a kind heart. This is where I'm going to say why I'm going to say this. There are not as many marketing leaders in the facility and property management industry than there are in tech, in SaaS, in other industries in general, okay? Like even large corporations. And you might be saying, well, they're different. Tech is different. SaaS is different. Not necessarily. Like, there's been plenty of tech companies and SaaS companies that have grown their business just by doing straight outbound calls and cold calling and cold everything and not have a tech. And they might have like a marketing person. Okay. So, and then the argument of that, then, well, that proves our point. We don't need a marketing person to grow our company. You kind of do. And so, just kind of bear with me on this. Like, as a facility company that is looking to grow and take over more market share and become one of the leaders in offering facilities management, you've got to take risks. You've got to take these opportunities where you're like, you know what? I'm going to make a future bet on something. I'm going to make a future bet on this. I'm going to make a future bet on that and then ride essentially like the current wave that's going on right now. And then also ride like maybe somebody else's or how others are kind of doing and you model that as well. And so let me explain this a little bit more. Okay. Here are some simple examples from the 90s. And then I'm going to go into like today. Email marketing. Email used to, at one point, have an open rate of like 90 to 95%. Open rate, meaning like if you send out 100 emails, you're going to get 90 people opening that. Okay, that's as good as like 100% in my opinion. I mean, because that's like damn near perfect. And then there were these early adopters for email marketing that were like, this is amazing. This is like basically better than me sending mail and doing like what's called like direct response marketing via mail. And I can do this via email and get a better result, send it cheaper. Okay. Send things digitally, get contacts immediately. Like there's something to this. And then there was a lot of people that were non-early adopters to email that were like, this is not going to work. It's horrible. Like, you know, mail's this, mail's that. And now, fast forward nearly 30 years later, okay, and email marketing is, it's still pretty strong. Now, you might say, like, well, it doesn't have the 90 to 95% open rates that it used to. Well, yes, because marketers fucked it up. Like, we came into the chain and we were like, this is amazing. Let's see if we can blow this thing up. And we did. We've proven that we can blow it up. Now we have email marketing that has ATT, which is the tracking that's getting removed. Like, you can no longer have tracking on, like, if you have an Apple product, there's like tracking is basically has been removed. I'm not upset about it. If anything, I think it's a great thing for all marketing. It separates the good and the great. That's what it's doing. It's separating good marketers and great marketers. Great marketers will find a way to leverage this and become even better. Good marketers are going to just like shrivel and die. Okay. So that's one example. Another example is blogging. That was a channel that people were like, who the hell writes about stuff and then just puts it on a page and then expects people to read their thoughts? Like, why would someone do that? And better yet, why would someone read about this? That's exactly what people's reactions were in the, I'd say, mid to late 90s. Fast forward 20 years later, and those folks that started a blog have a following that is like nobody's business. They don't really have to run paid advertising because they have more SEO prowess than, like, I don't know, a Ferrari on a road right now. Okay. And I mean, those folks leveraged something and they saw something. They saw, like, oh, wow, this is a great opportunity for me to share my expertise and knowledge, to train, to educate, to give information. And then people start seeking me for all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to be the expert. And then guess who they're going to ask for advice or pay for, you know, consulting? Like, they're going to talk to me. So all of a sudden, you've narrowed the market down. And so those folks that took advantage of this channel, basically blogging, are like are crushing it. In even if, like, you started a blog 10 years ago, you're 10 years ahead of those other folks that were like, this is stupid, I'll never do this. And then you wait 10 years and then you're like, man, I should have started this blog thing. All right. So if you're an early adopter to new tools that are coming out in any kind of industry, like in facilities, it's as simple as like early adopters to like artificial intelligence for like climate control in your building. Like, that's an example of early adaptation. Okay. That's like one example. Or using a CMMS that has smart technology involved in it. Like, that's another, you know, adaptation. Like, that's good. But on the facility side, for like essentially acquiring business, growing your brand, getting new customers, like that kind of stuff, you got to think, you know, you can't use smart, you know, IoT kind of stuff to help you kind of build your business. Like, that is a tool that will probably let you get more facility managers to come into your way and be like, hey, do you offer IoT? Do you offer smart technology? Do you offer this? Like, that's a tool, but that is not... that is not like something that you can ride forever and ever, because there will be a point where that thing dies off. And that's not really like a marketing tool or a sales tool. Like, in my opinion, that's just like, does your car have air conditioning? And nowadays, when you know, manufacturers are basically writing up the description about their vehicles and they say it has AC, in my head, I'm like, it better fucking have AC. I'm not going to buy this car if it doesn't have AC. You know, like that should be a given. Or it has power windows. I'm not going to be rolling my windows up. Like, we're not in the 1990s anymore. Okay. So those, like, that's like my opinion. The smart technology is kind of like that. It's like, yeah, it was cool back in the 90s whenever you had to pay extra for this, but now it's a given and just better have that. Okay. And that's kind of what I want people to understand is that you can't differentiate yourself on a sales piece because of like you offer, you know, a CMMS or you have a smart technology or something like that. Like, there's other things. Now I'm like, you know, basically going on a tangent on something completely different. But early adaptation to new tools that are going to help you grow your brand, waves you could ride. So blogging is another tool. All right. Another one is inbound marketing. And you're like, well, what's inbound marketing? Inbound marketing is kind of like content marketing, where you're putting out a whole bunch of stuff outside to the world and it's pointing to your website, or it's pointing to a specific blog, or it's pointing to a specific landing page. Example would be is that you write a really long 5,000 word blog on a preventative maintenance program for, you know, I don't know, like plumbing. Okay. So you write that blog and it's a ton of great stuff and whatever. I mean, you could probably do it for HVAC very easily, but anyways, 5,000 words, right? And then you write like micro blogs from that. So you say like, okay, we're going to talk about, like changing air filters and how you can actually do this a little differently if you have this piece or that piece, and you write these micro blogs of like 1,000 words. And then all these blogs essentially kind of like point to some sort of landing page or something, and they are all interlinked with each other. And then you create micro content out of those blogs as well too, where you can put social media posts, where you can create short video training. Like maybe it's a training series. Like in this series, we're going to teach you about this, and you put it on YouTube and it points to your blog. And then you keep taking this further and further. Like that's called inbound marketing, because what you're doing is that you're putting so much stuff out there. People come inbound to find your content and they're like, oh, this is great. Like a company that really revolutionized inbound marketing was HubSpot. HubSpot essentially created the terminology inbound marketing. Inbound marketing is what I just explained, and it grew their SaaS product to becoming like, I want to say it's a multi-billion dollar company, or maybe just short of it, like several hundred millions of dollars, okay? And it has helped them grow. Like we use HubSpot at RapMate, and it's an amazing product. Like we use it every day. I'm in HubSpot about 90% of my day. 90% of my day, I'm living and dying in HubSpot, okay? So inbound marketing is a tool. Had you rode that wave? Because right now it works, but it doesn't have the same like prowess as it did like 10 years ago. And you might be saying like, well, then why would I use inbound marketing now? You can still do it in facilities because no one has really done it before. Like it hasn't been executed at scale. It's been done here and there, and maybe the ones that have done it are like the SaaS products, like ServiceChannel, or maybe JLLT, or maybe, like any other CMMS, like Fexa, and some, you know, other CMMSs out there. Like they might have done some of it, but I don't know if they've done it to the like level of HubSpot. Okay, get where I'm saying? Another one is sales engagement tools. So sales engagement tools, again, it can be like a CRM that essentially like that is tracking activity, okay, of a lead. And then it feeds them new content based off of what pages they're on. It says, hey, do you want to learn more about this? Because you're already on this page. And it continues to engage them more. The sales team sees what's going on with this activity and they're like, oh wow, this lead is like super duper hot. Like not only did they look at 22 pages, but they dug into these four pages that are really long and they spent 5 minutes on each of these pages. This person must be interested. And then an auto email goes out saying, hey, it looks like that, you know, you're really interested in X, Y, and Z. Do you want to schedule an appointment? And like these tools essentially create more efficiencies within your company. But what I'm getting to is that a lot of facility property management companies would never use HubSpot to this degree because they probably don't understand how to actually do that. Okay, they probably approach sales engagement as a more traditional sales environment of like you see someone at a conference or you see that they opened an email and then you call them. Like, but there's tools out there that is going to take like this lead and keep feeding them more content in a different way to continue to get them engaged to make the sales process easier. And then another one is conversational marketing. This is something that was coined by a company called Drift, where it's those little chat boxes, chat bots that are in the bottom right corner. Okay. And so Drift coined this terminology called conversational marketing. And the idea was that it would help sales close more deals. And so, like, how Drift sold this is they would go to the product manager of a company and they would say, hey, I think this would be a great tool for you to kind of share more about your product. What if you did, you know, this and you use Drift to help? And then what you can do is they can type in questions and you already know what they're going to be saying. And then you can pre-categorize them and then it keeps feeding them more stuff. And then it gives them, like, you know, essentially like a conversation about learning about the product and service to where they can call sales. They're pre-educated essentially. And then sales is just going to close the deal. Do you see what I'm saying here? So like conversational marketing, this is something that like these chatbots, you know, they came out with, like, Messenger was one that kind of created some stuff. And then there was Messenger is owned by Facebook, but like people created bots off of that. All right. And using like Facebook Messenger. And then it kind of started going crazy. Like Intercom was one of the big companies. And then Drift, you know, kind of started piggybacking off of that. But like companies that started leveraging conversational marketing and putting those chatbots on their sites back, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, you got some like good leverage on that. And you were able to ride it for a while. Video is another, you know, concept that YouTube, you know, in the about 15 years ago, YouTube was like an early adopter thing. Like, did you adopt to this thing early? And did you start a YouTube channel? Because if you did, you're going to be fucking crushing it now. And those that didn't, they're like, who the hell is going to watch cat videos? Those people are like, man, I should have put more cat videos out there. Like, what the hell was I thinking? Or how-to videos or whatever. And then, you know, we can jump into podcasting. I mean, yes, there are a handful of podcasters right now in facility and property management, but there's not nearly as many as there are in like other industries. Okay. And so this is one of the reasons why I decided to get into podcasting when I was at CMI Mechanical, is because I'm like, all right, no one is doing podcast interviews. Like, I'm going to probably do this and this is going to be a great opportunity for me. And so I started doing it and it worked. And it was successful. And then I was like, you know, there's no marketing podcasts for facility management. I'm going to start one. And so I came up with the most original name possible, Facility Management Marketing Podcast, which is not original whatsoever. Okay. But those folks that were early adopters to podcasting, they're like, man, this is an outlet to express, you know, your knowledge. It's like blogging. Okay. But in audio format. And there's already studies that are out there saying that people that listen to podcasts are typically going to be more educated. They're going to be the ones that don't listen to like radio or sports radio, but these folks are always pushing the boundaries on like how smarter can they get. These folks have gone to college. They either sit in like director or C-suite positions. I'm not saying like if you don't sit in those positions, you don't listen to podcasts, but what I'm saying is that podcast listeners tend to be relatively more savvy and smarter. Okay. It's just, I'm not saying that you're not smart or if you don't listen to them or whatever. I'm just saying like, that's what the stats are saying. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't have them in front of me, but podcasting is another tool. And so now let's fast forward to now. Okay. Cause podcasting has been around for a good decade and it probably just started getting wheels, you know, about 5-6 years ago. And then it took off again during COVID. And then after COVID, it just like all these people that started podcasts are like, man, this is really hard. And so I'm over 150 episodes in our podcast. And it's hard to produce content, like 150 episodes. Like, what the hell do I talk about after 100? Like, some people are like, what do you talk about after 10 episodes? And it's a lot of work. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I've got a lot of content. I can talk for days and days and days, but it also takes a lot of work on my side because I've got to research stuff. I got to look into, you know, topics. I've got to look into like Facebook and what people are talking about. Like, oh, that's interesting. And I'm sorry, not Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's a really good topic. And I'm taking screenshots and I'm writing notes and I'm putting these into my Apple Notepad and I'm putting things down. And I'm writing things out. I'm like, this is going to be one of my next topics. I'm going to do this. Like, all this stuff. Like, there's a lot of prepping behind this. Podcasting isn't just like get a mic, slap a mic, you know, get a mic, get some speakers and just record. It doesn't work like that. And so you've got to have laid out topics. And so now, you know, today, just a few months ago that came out that got humongous was AI tools. ChatGPT essentially like blew up the whole thing, and they came out with a free AI tool, okay, to the world. And AI has been around for a while. Like, I've used Jasper before, and I wasn't 100% sold on Jasper to write all my content, mainly because of two things. One, because I didn't know how Google was going to take this. Were they going to allow all this AI-driven content to start ranking? And if they are, like, how are they going to segment it? Or are they going to start penalizing you if you're writing a whole bunch of AI content? If you're writing a whole bunch of content that's AI produced, and are they going to penalize you? And no one knows. And so I'm on the ladder where if you're writing content using AI generated information, you're going to probably get penalized. However, if you leverage AI to help you write content, to make content better, to give you an outline, to give you ideas, to expand your, you know, what you're going to be discussing. Like, if you use AI to help you in those areas, then that's different. And this is where I feel as though, like, AI can be leveraged in so many different ways. If you don't know what to write about on LinkedIn, for instance, okay, you can kind of start learning how to create prompts in ChatGPT. And then as you learn these prompts, you're like, okay, I'm pretty smart at talking about these 10 things. And then all you got to do is like, all right, ChatGPT, I'm really good at this one topic. Give me 10 things to talk about this one topic. And it's going to be like, boom, 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 boom. And then you can read it. You're like, oh yeah, I can totally talk about these 10 things. And then you can say, all right, ChatGPT, give me, of these 10 things, give me 3 ways on how I can educate on each one of them. And it might be like, you know, is it in a listicle? Like, it's just a list of items, or is it in a pitfall kind of approach, or is it in a in a story approach, whatever that is. And you can do that for each of the channels or categories that you're really knowledgeable about, where it gives you, like, you know, 5 or 6 or 10, whatever that number is, of each category that you want to educate on. And all of a sudden you've got 50 pieces of content, 100 pieces of content, 200 pieces of content that it is outlined for you. And then you just write about it, or you launch a podcast and you use it. Now, I would be lying to you if I said I don't use ChatGPT. I'm leveraging ChatGPT almost daily. Okay. Some days more than others. Other days, not as much. But example is today, you know, we've got this podcast. I'm sorry. We've got this press release that we're getting ready to launch next week. And so this press release is launching, and it's going to be talking about, like, our we're going to be selling. It's talking about our Tesla Cybertruck wraps configurator. So, like, if you're interested in getting a vehicle wrap for your Tesla Cybertruck, and because they all come in the same color, which is stainless steel, like the color of your appliances, okay. If you're interested in getting, you know, it wrapped, then you can use our configurator to see what it's going to look like. You're like, oh, cool. It's like flaming pink, or it's like this, or it's like carbon fiber or whatever. Right. Anyways, with that said, you know, I basically wrote the press release, you know, from scratch. And then I took that press release, put it into ChatGPT, and I said, hey, write me 1,000-word blog about this. And then I basically put in the press release in there. And then I was like, okay, this is not how I would write, but it got me started. So then I started going through, I'm like, okay, I would change this, make this more personal, change that, add this. I'm like, okay, I like this, where this is going. I'm going to start modifying this. And then the blog was basically created to fit, like, how I would have written it if I was going to start from scratch, but it gave me structure. So that's one way of how I use ChatGPT. I use ChatGPT also to help me with, like, titles of our podcasts, or also description of our podcast. Why? Because I'm trying to get more downloads and listeners to find this podcast. And so it gives me new ideas. I'm like, oh, I like that. That's a good title. Because I'll put in some titles and I'm like, this is pretty solid. And I'm not saying that I'm not good at creating titles, but what I'm getting to is that, like, they can do things based off of, you know, like, how I would optimize stuff a little bit better. And then there's other times where it just produces stuff that's just complete dog shit. And I'm not going to lie about that. Like, there's times whenever I'll put things in, I'm like, I didn't ask you to do that. Like, what the hell is your problem? And at the end of the day, it's like, it's AI. Like, you can't expect this to interact like a human. But if you're not leveraging AI tools as a sales and marketing tactic, you're totally missing out. Now, I'm not saying use AI to write your sales emails. I'm not saying use AI to write your blogs. I'm not saying use AI to write your marketing emails or your website content. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying use AI to help create a structure. You can say, like, you know, like, you can find a great sales email, like, man, this is a solid one. And then you can put it into ChatGPT and it's like, all right, I want you to model this, but I want you to be talking about, you know, integrated facilities management. And I want you to, you know, say, you know, our company name and do that. Like, you can give these things and prompts and then they can give you an outline. Then you go in there and then you start massaging it. So instead of you working from scratch, you're working at a baseline that's like, okay, This has got something. I can work with this. So that's a great way of doing this. But, like, I've had very heated conversations in my company with my team of saying, we cannot just take what ChatGPT is saying and put it on LinkedIn. Like, that is complete trash. Okay. We cannot do that. All right. And so there's, like, but doesn't mean that you discount AI. It just means that you use it to where its limitations are at, and then you take it over the other side of it. And so if you're able right now to start leveraging ChatGPT to help you with your marketing, to help you with your sales, you need to do that. And you need to embrace it, because, like, this community of people, they're like, these robots are taking over the world and this is going to, like, change things forever. Everyone said that about the fucking internet. They said that about social media. They said that about blogs. They said that about radio. And they said that about TV. And they said that about the newspaper. They've said that about everything. Don't believe me? Go do a Google search. Okay? The thing that we all are like, this internet thing is going to ruin the world. Go look it up. And if you don't want to go look it up, go to a fucking library and go look it up. You know, so, like, I really encourage you that if you don't embrace these tools, and even the tools that I mentioned ahead, like inbound marketing, sales engagement tools, conversational marketing, video, podcast, AI, you can still use that stuff today. You're just not going to have a big enough wave as if you were using it when it came out. So if you're using AI now, that wave is bigger at the moment, and you could probably ride that for a solid, I don't know, 6, 12, 18 months before it's like, and it starts teetering off a little bit, because then every product is going to have some sort of AI tool now, because it's going to be accessible. Okay. I mean, it's just like TVs. Before, getting a 4K TV was like $5,000. Now you can get a Vizio 4K TV for like $700. And it's like 80 inches big. Like it's accessible now. Like, it's the technology has been, you know, everyone that were all the early adopters to the 4K have brought their prices down. Okay. And so, like, you need to be writing this tool. This is going to help your career. This is going to help you become more efficient. This is going to help you accomplish a lot more things than what you can imagine. So what I'm getting to at the end of this whole podcast is that don't be afraid of the critics, the ones that are going to be criticizing you because of, like, well, why would you do that? And that sounds ridiculous. And that sounds stupid, because I feel as though those kind of comments come from more of the old school type, like, well, this is how we've been doing things for the past 20 years. And I'm like, okay, well, this is not 20 years ago, man. This is fucking 2023. And, like, that kind of attitude is going to put us out of business. You know? And so I will tell you, like, we don't act like that at our company, I'm not saying I'm open to every idea that comes over my desk, but I will say that I look at stuff seriously enough to be like, huh, this is interesting. This can change some things a little bit. And so I encourage you to really, really start thinking about becoming an early adopter, okay? And start leveraging tools. Ride that wave, because maybe you're wrong like 70% of it. But that 30% might get you over the hump to that next career move, that bigger position. It might get you that extra revenue that you were missing out on. Or maybe you're wrong 20% and it was 80% right. You're like, I was right on these things and I failed on this, but it don't matter because it got me to this next level. It got our company to this next level. And now we have established ourselves more along this, you know? And so that's what I'm saying. Like, don't be that old grumpy old man. All right. So anyways, hope you found this interesting. Three things I always ask in my podcast. Number one, please give us a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Number two, connect with me on LinkedIn if we're not connected. I know that a lot of the times I reach out to you via LinkedIn to grow my audience, and I appreciate all of you. And then number three, please take the time to share this podcast with somebody else, because our podcast grows because of you. So DM them, send them a message, whatever that is. And just keep in mind that, like, when I'm you know, doing these podcasts, I may not have direct examples every single day directly with, like, I did this today in facilities. Like, because here's the thing is like the facilities world, like, as much as I want to help it a lot, the thing that I've realized very quickly when I was in it is that they're not very keen on hiring a whole bunch of marketing leaders. Okay. And so with that, like, that's one of the reasons why I'm not, like, actually actively a CMO, is because, like, where do you know of a CMO in the IFM space, in the property management space? Do you know any? Probably, like, only at a SaaS company that's in the facilities industry, like a ServiceChannel or a JLLT or a Fexa, you know, like those kind of companies. But typically, they don't hire like VP of marketing and CMOs, because that's just what they don't do. Okay. And so what I've done is, like, I see an opportunity in this industry that, like, man, these people, if you guys listen to these things that I'm teaching you for these past 150 episodes, like, if you become an early adopter, you will grow your business big time. And so what I've done is like, you know what? I'm going to take my learnings that I've done previously, before my time at CMI Mechanical, during my time at CMI Mechanical, and post my time in the facility space, because I did some other work for other, some IFMs. And I'm going to, like, document it, and I'm going to share it and be like, I've done this, and this is what I've been doing. You can model this too for your company. It doesn't have to be exact, you know, one-to-one. Understand that. It does not have to be one-to-one to be successful. All right? All right. Thanks a lot and have a great one.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking a listen to our Facility Management Marketing Podcast Secrets. This is your host, Javier Lozano Jr. One other ask I've got for you guys is to subscribe to our email list. You can go to bouldermediasolutions.com/email. And that way you can get updates on some marketing trends that I'm seeing, some strategies that I'm executing. And more importantly, I'll be actually launching some webinars and training that's going to help your company use marketing strategies to essentially grow your business. We'll be doing some training, offering some courses, that sort of stuff. So you can always unsubscribe to that email list. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt my feelings. This is more for facility management companies that want to grow their business by using marketing. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great one.